They are sometimes rather clumsy and a bit awkward when they give their accounts. Perhaps that's part of the appeal. Despite lacking polish and sophistication, and often even rudimentary grammar and useful vocabulary, somehow they manage to tell their story, and we read and listen with rapt attention. We can't help it. With his foot hopelessly trapped in a grain auger that was lacking part of its safety covering, a covering he had himself removed for winter storage, Kurt Kaiser did not have his phone in his pocket, but he did have his knife. With it, the Nebraska farmer cut off his trapped leg and crawled to his phone. "I didn't have no other choice," he told the reporter. "The bone stuck out down to my ankle. That's what I was hanging on to as I was trying to get myself out." About that regrettably modified safety feature, he offered this: "I was kind of disappointed in myself that I didn't think of fixing that thing. But that's why they call it accidents, I guess." Wow, who can forget that account? Even the BBC posted it to their international websites. It's not that his education or his way with words or his knack for storytelling were so compelling. None of that is in evidence here. So why listen to him and why believe him? Why? Because the story is remarkable. And sitting in a wheelchair with only one leg, he's got all the credibility a witness needs. Witnesses are experts in one thing: their personal account of what they experienced. And their worth as a witness increases significantly with the strength of their credibility. When what they say meshes well with their appearance, their manner, and their person, they achieve outstanding witness status. These are the things that qualified the first disciples of Jesus for the work they had been given to do by their Lord. They were to be his witnesses. They had seen with their own eyes, they had experienced with their own lives the things that mattered. They had watched everything unfold just as it had been planned. They had witnessed everything. And now their task was to go and tell about it. That was the consistent driving point in each of Jesus' final encounters with his first followers. It's summed up quite neatly in the last verses of Luke's gospel that we just heard read. The core of the entire Christian message spelled out in the space of five verses. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." This is essential Christian truth. The story about Jesus is not some isolated occurrence in a backwater corner of an ancient empire. No, it is the critical moment of climax and fulfillment in the great and grand story that had been unfolding from the very beginning, especially through the people of Israel. What the disciples had been living during their years with Jesus was bound up with that expansive story lived out by God's people and written down by God's Old Testament authors. Jesus reminds the disciples one more time of what he had taught them before. There is an absolute continuity and coherence at work in this grand story. Everything, absolutely everything that had been written down by anyone anywhere in the Old Testament had found its fulfillment in his own life, death, and resurrection. Everything. God's epic work, his living drama, had been pushing forward through time. From the moment God spoke the very first word and the primal blast of light beamed into the universe, all the people and all the places and all the plans of this world's entire history have been driving toward the vital moment of Christ. The fulfillment of Scripture is not a matter of Jesus working his way around Palestine with the Old Testament checklist in hand, making sure that every detail of every prophecy is satisfactorily accomplished. Now, the point is not to prove the veracity of the Old Testament scriptures. No, the point is that the story told there is fulfilled completely in the life of Jesus. When Jesus opened the disciples' minds to understand the scriptures, what they see is Jesus everywhere, on every page. Jesus is the key to their hermeneutic method. In Jesus, it all fit together. It's all about Jesus. And what is the essential part of the Jesus story, the story that had been foretold throughout the story of Israel? That's here in our text as well. That the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's it. That's exactly what the disciples had witnessed. Jesus the Christ had lived, died, and been raised from the dead. It was a remarkable, amazing story, and it was all true. They knew it was because they had lived it. Incredibly, God had pulled each of them into his story, and now they were essential actors in the story, players in the drama. It was their story. Talked about that story, their credibility was unimpeachable. Their lives corroborated their words. Jesus declared it. You are witnesses of these things. So they were. You are witnesses of these things. And so you are. No, you did not witness Jesus living and teaching and suffering and dying. Not witness him risen from the dead in the upper room or on the beach in Galilee. But you know the truth of all these things. You know it because God has also pulled you into his story. You know it because he baptized you into this story. His story is your story. The story begun before the advent of time now includes you. You are his witness. You know his truth. Experience his grace. Taste his joys. Trust his will and walk in his ways. You are his witness. And the credibility of your witness continually increases as the story you confess corresponds with the life you live. No, don't sweat it. It's not about being perfect and free from failure. Quite the opposite. The strength of your witness to Christ's reality is about the truth of what you tell. You tell your story about a person who follows Christ, but who stumbles and falls with alarming regularity, who strives to do better, but makes too little progress, who professes newness, but displays old-fashioned selfishness, who knows the hard truth about personal sin and shame and shortcomings, but is loved and elect by God anyway. That's your story. You know it well because you live it. You are a witness of these things, a witness of your own crying need, a witness of God's surpassing forgiveness. Your brokenness, too often a brokenness that is tragically self-inflicted. Your brokenness is evident to all. But so also is the incredible grace of God who continues to love and provide in spite of you. Of that reality, of that Christian reality, you are a credible witness indeed. The reality of who you are in Christ, the reality that overcomes your sin and failure is delivered into your life each time that you gather with others to hear his word and to receive his grace in the sacraments. It is God who does the work in you and then with you. God feeds you. God equips you. God always does the giving. Before the first disciples went out as witnesses, God gave to them. That's why they had to stay in the city. Jesus made sure of it. The city, the upper room, there in the city, well, that was the chosen spot. That was the place where God would pour out his grace. grace on those witnesses. Saturated in God's grace, the witnesses then went out. Witnesses need to be equipped and sent to be credible. They need to be where the Spirit is given. And that's why you're here. This is the place. This is the city. This is the designated place where God delivers the goods and declares the reality. You belong to Him. You are forgiven by Him. You are adopted by Him. You are His. This is the place where you receive power from on high. From this place, you go out and you witness to what you know. With stammering clumsiness, with inarticulate and inadequate vocabulary, with self-conscious embarrassment at your own brokenness, with the keen awareness of how far short of the standard you fall, with all of that, you go out and you witness to the stunning reality of a God who loves and uses you anyway. You witness to what you know. God's reality in Christ changes everything about who you are, why you exist, and what you're doing. You witness to the truth of Christ dead, but risen and ascended in eternal glory. You witness in your life for a broken, God-dependent, God-grace-saturated life.